This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
On a Tuesday night, we welcome you in. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us today. If you would like to get involved with the program, you can certainly do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a voicemail message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can leave a voice message, like I mentioned, on the Odyssey app. And for those of you who are watching the show via YouTube and everywhere else that we happen to be, just you can leave a comment there, and we will certainly be taking a look at those. Lots of ways to stay in contact with us here on Sports Open Line, and certainly will give you an opportunity to call in and share your thoughts. Here's what largely what we're doing today and tomorrow is very much previewing the Cardinal season, as we now have set information. We now know what the roster looks like. We know what the rotation looks like. I would contend, based off what we heard from Oliver Marmol in the dugout yesterday in Memphis, we kind of have an idea of what the lineup is going to look like to start the season. And it was something that, you know, it's been talked about a lot. Kevin and I just talked about it during the Redbird Rush Hour. I know they talk about it on Gas House Gang. Like, there's been a lot of discussion about it, but I think what I'm seeing, I'm pretty happy with from a lineup construction standpoint. And again, of all the people you hear talking baseball on KMOX, I'm probably the person who puts the least amount of worry into lineup construction. I've always been the, hey, if you got good players, it doesn't really matter where you bat them. You're going to score a bunch of runs because you got good players. So, and that's an oversimplification of the truth, right? there is things that you want to accomplish inside of a lineup, and that's why we had so many spirited conversations during the Gas House Gang about whether or not Mason Wynn should bat in the leadoff spot. So it's not, lineup construction is not one of my passions. I guess that's where I'm going with here. It is not a passion for me, but it is something that can hold value. It is something that can help you steal a run here, steal a run there, things like that. And when I think the margin for error for this Cardinals team is going to be tiny. It's going to be minuscule. There are going to be some games this year where small moments determine whether or not you win or whether or not you lose. Yeah, I've always gone with the whole everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60 thing. So there's, you know, 42 games on the table. Let's just call it 40 games to make this conversation. Every time I say that, I always get the smart Alex that say, oh, well, look at the White Sox last year. They did this. Yeah. Are there teams that win less than 60 games sometimes? Yes. Are there teams that lose less than 60 games sometimes? Yeah, it happens. But generally speaking, the vast majority of baseball teams playing a 162-game schedule, everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60. So if there are only 40 games that are actually on the table to be won or lost, your entire season, whether you are one of the best teams in baseball or whether you are one of the worst teams in baseball, that is determined by 40 games, by 5 weeks worth of baseball. We play 6 months of baseball, and essentially the season comes down to 5 weeks worth of games. Not obviously 5 weeks in a row, but you get the point that I'm trying to make. So I would contend that this is a Cardinals team that is bluntly not good enough to just run away with a lot of those 40. There's no guarantee that they're going to even win most of the 40. I think as it sits right now, the Cardinals are very similar to who they were last year. I would suspect that the bullpen, which was historically good last year, I would suspect the bullpen takes a bit of a step back. I don't think Ryan Helsley is going to put together the season this year that he had this past year, but I still think he's going to be darn good. I still think the bullpen's going to be a strength. So I probably prefaced that statement in the wrong way, because if you're listening to me, the first thing you hear is me talk about the bullpen taking a step back, and it sounds like I'm saying that the bullpen's going to be bad. No, I don't think the bullpen's going to be bad. I just don't think they're going to be. It is, you have to be lucky generally in baseball to be historically good. You could be really, really good just like based off talent and things, but when we're talking about historically good, and last year's bullpen performance from the Cardinals was one of the best bullpen performances in the history of the franchise, as much as talent goes along with that, as much as being put in the right situation goes along with that, and whether you like Oliver Marmol or don't like Oliver Marmol, and I know there is a vocal group of people out there that are not fans of Oliver Marmol, I think it's really hard to argue that he did not do a fantastic job with the bullpen. If you're a pitchfork person that wants Oliver Marmol out of St. Louis, when you're making your points, you're probably not bringing up his management of the bullpen, because it was very good. It was really, really good. There are other things that we can talk about that maybe I think Marmol does a nice job on that you don't think he does a nice job on, and we can have that conversation and we can have an argument, and I can see your pathway and you can see my pathway, and we can disagree on things, and we can both have valid reasons for that. I think it's very hard to be critical of Oliver Marmol specifically when it comes to the way he managed the bullpen last year. So the bullpen probably takes a half step back. They're still probably very good. That would be my thought process. I think offensively, they take a half step forward. I'm not sure who's going to take what individuals are taking big steps forward. We talked about this earlier last hour with Kevin Wheeler, because Wheels wanted to do predictions. And my prediction is that Lars Nootbaar is going to put together a really solid season this year, that he's going to stay healthy and therefore put together a really solid season. I think things like that happening lead to the Cardinals being a little bit better offensively. So if the bullpen takes a half step back, if offensively you take a half step or a full step forward, you're probably pretty darn similar to who you were last season. And last season, you were a team that was above 500. Last year, you are a team that was in a playoff spot for a good chunk of the year, and you're a team that was in playoff contention for most of the year. Can they? Is there something that can happen in those 40 games that are on the table every year? Is there going to be something that can happen two or three times that can help you win a game here and win a game there and steal a game here and steal a game there? Are there things that can happen that can push you into being a team that can be a legit playoff team? That's going to be the question. And you look at the National League, I talk about the margin for error. You look at the National League, like I think there's a bunch of good teams. When I look at the National League East, I see three very good teams in the Mets, Phillies, and Braves. When I look at the NL West, I like the Dodgers. I like the Diamondbacks. I like the Giants. I'm not sure if I like the Padres or not. They were all right last year. I think the Padres might be on the cusp of taking a step back. But if they're right there in playoff contention, that wouldn't shock me. And the NL Central again looks to me like a division that's going to be a one team in terms of getting into the playoff division. So not a lot of margin for error. Where do the Cardinals stack up against other teams in the National League? All interesting questions. We'll certainly take your phone calls. We're going to have some guests on the show at the in our 20 segment. So that's like our next segment this hour and then 7:20 as well. But outside of that, if you want to chime in today on anything that we're talking about Cardinals related as we get you set for the season opener on Thursday, the home opener against Minnesota, we'll have it for a full day coverage here on KMOX. It's going to be a blast. I love opening day so much, and I cannot be any more fired up about this year's opening day than any other opening day. It doesn't matter, for me at least, and I know this isn't true for everybody, but for me at least, doesn't matter. That's the one day of the year where expectations for the team, just throw them out. Opening day is opening day, and it's one of the best days of the year, and I am fired up for it, and hopefully you'll be able to, if you're not going to the game and tickets are still available, join us for full coverage throughout the entire day. I don't think I mentioned this, by the way. I'm burying the lead because we didn't have a Sports Open Line last night. We had Cardinals baseball with the game in Memphis. This is our first Sports Open Line since we made the jump over to 104.1 FM. So maybe some folks out there are finding us for a first time. If you're somebody that didn't like going over to the AM dial, that's all right. You know, I drove to Memphis yesterday and drove back from Memphis today. And I got a little bit past Festus, and that's when 104.1 started to go out. Had the old Apple CarPlay all set up, so I just switched on over to the Odyssey app and listened to KMOX the entire drive. So many ways to listen to us. 104.1 FM, still on 1120 on the AM dial, still available on the Odyssey app. If you are with us from a video standpoint, we are streaming the show live on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. You might find our video stream. So we will come to you. If you'll just come a little bit to us, we'll meet you wherever you happen to be. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. We roll on. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Crystal clear sound indeed. Second day of KMOX being on 104.1 FM. We're so happy to have that signal, of course. We're still on 1120. I know a lot of people out of the St. Louis metro area were concerned about that. I heard from folks on social media because KMOX reaches pretty much the entire country after the sun goes down, and there's a lot of people outside of St. Louis, and I was one for many years living away from St. Louis. I spent many a night driving around with KMOX on my car radio when I was in other cities. But so we're still on 1120, but you can find us on 104.1 FM. Very happy to welcome on to the program right now. He covers the St. Louis Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat. He is Jeff Jones. You follow him on Twitter at JM Jones. Also, you can see all of his content on Blue Sky as well. Jeff, appreciate you taking some time. I saw you in Memphis yesterday. I assume safe travels back to the St. Louis area?
Safe travels back this morning, yeah. It's a much easier drive than I gave it credit for a long, long time. So I think a lot more trips down to Memphis to come for me, for sure.
Yeah, just you hop on 55 and you put the car on autopilot, right?
Just about right, yeah. And make sure to be aware that there are no open rest areas on the north side of 55 coming from Arkansas all the way up to the St. Louis Metro. So good to keep in mind for the planning.
All right, there you go. So everybody who wants to go check out a Memphis Redbirds game. You know, I worked in the Pacific Coast League for years, but I was like the number two broadcaster with the AAA team I was with, so I didn't make all the trips. Last night was my first night ever in Memphis at that ballpark, and I was impressed. I know it's the ballpark's been around for a little while now, but they did a nice job, and with as many fans that were in there last night, I thought it was a really good environment.
Yeah, you know, it was my first night there as well, and I thought it was a really great AAA high-end presentation of a baseball game, I thought, between the stadium atmosphere and the work that kind of the game day folks put in there. It was really like being in a Major League Baseball game. They did a tremendous job last night, and it was a great environment, and I'll be very, very happy to see the Cardinals get a chance to get back there more often in the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely, and the fans there showing up, obviously, is a big part of that. I think right now the number one concern for a lot of fans is Sonny Gray, and rightfully so, and we're all trying to kind of discern the information we're getting. He's been a little bit unhealthy here recently, but that doesn't result in his entire down spring. He had some lingering health issues from last year that kind of delayed the start of his offseason, so maybe he came in not quite as ready as some other guys. What's your concern level? What should fans' concern level be right now with Gray, where his fastball velocity is a tick down, and whatever you want to take out of spring training numbers, they weren't especially good?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty unreasonable to not be a little bit concerned at this point, right? You know, you talk about the spring training numbers. I think that sometimes those can fool you a little bit, but when you look at the numbers that he was putting up, and particularly, you know, you mentioned the velocity being down. You're talking about a guy who gave up, I believe the number was 8 homers this spring, which is a pretty high number. Now, you know, there were some shenanigans with Roger Dean Stadium, who'd be playing a little more favorably for hitters this spring than it has in years past. But I do think it's telling that last night, John Mozeliak, in speaking to us, you know, from the dugout there in Memphis, relayed comments that Sonny had made that, hey, you know, he's going to figure out a way to pitch through it. And if it means pitching a little differently, then he's going to be confident that he can figure it out. Now, you want to hear the confidence, I guess, if you're the Cardinals, but I think it's also fair to be concerned because this is a guy who has for a long time relied on his ability to get strikeouts. And if the velocity is down, that's going to change a lot of how he's able to pitch. And, you know, it's going to be a not small adjustment if he's not able to sort of find something pretty close to that velocity again.
While we're talking about potential velocity issues, Andre Pallante's velocity has been down this spring as well. Yesterday, in his first inning or so, we saw him 95, 96, but then he settled in 92, 93 on the fastball. Should we be concerned about that?
I would be a little less concerned about Pallante just because this spring was the first in a while where he kind of had a full build-up regular starter sort of workload in spring. And so maybe, you know, his arm's going to have more innings on it at this point in the calendar than it has in the last couple of years. It's not uncommon for guys as the spring gets deep to deal with, you know, just a little bit of dead arm, maybe not getting quite the jump that they want with the ball out of the hand, just based on, you know, the amount of innings that they're racking up kind of early in the calendar. So, you know, if things look about the same or not any better, I guess, for Pallante in the first handful of starts here, then maybe you start wondering about it. But I think for now you can be cautiously optimistic that he's going to be able to get himself at least pretty close to how we've been used to seeing him.
I feel like this entire interview has turned into should we be worried about this, but I'm going to be doing it again. Mason Winn was working on a lot of stuff, was working on plate discipline, swing decisions. That was a big part of his spring. But the numbers for him offensively were bad, and he has a one-year track record. He doesn't have a multi-year track record. What should the concern level be for Winn offensively?
Yeah, that for me is a little bit of a harder one, right? Because when you sort of look at that spring, as you mentioned, the production just flat was not there. The strikeout rate was higher than you'd want it, especially for a guy in his position. And, you know, we saw yesterday the lineup the Cardinals rolled out had Mason Winn hitting ninth, and that's going to be the lineup on opening day. And you know, Mason last night after the game was really frank. He said, you know, I'm not delusional. I understand that my spring looked like what it looked like. And I think the comment that he made was that if he'd gone out and hit 350, then there wouldn't even be a conversation. But he didn't. And here we are. So, you know, it's, I guess the thing to say optimistically about Mason Winn's spring is that no one is in denial about it, right? What you're not hearing from him is, well, the process was good. Well, I was working on X and Y. That wasn't good enough, and we're going to figure it out. And so I think at least starting from there gives you maybe more confidence that they're going to be aggressive about figuring out the things that they can do to kind of get him right back on a productive track. Because I do think, you know, there is a lot that is exciting about the ceiling of the offense the way that it's structured right now. the odds they reach that ceiling. That's, you know, that's going to be the rub, I think, for them. But there is a lot that you could see that could break in the right direction if it worked out that way.
Anytime one makes an assumption, you're running into a place where you might be incorrect. But I, along with many others, kind of made an assumption up until about a week ago or so that Nolan Gorman was in line to be an everyday guy, and it looked like Alec Burleson was, while he would play a lot, would kind of be the 10th guy. And of course, it was an entire offseason where all we did was talk about Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman maybe being the two most important pieces. Now, as we sit at 6:28 p.m. on Tuesday, March 25th, it feels like Gorman is kind of the 10th guy, and Burleson is in a little bit of a better spot. Are you at all surprised by what I think is a little bit of a development there?
Yeah, a little bit, only because, you know, as you mentioned, Gorman is a guy who throughout the winter, they were pretty clear, was going to get priority at bats. You know, I think they were working under the assumption, under you know, the plan at least, that Nolan Arenado was going to be traded this winter and that third base would be Nolan Gorman, and he would have a chance to roll through it. And, you know, like a lot of us wrote about and talked about early in spring, that not happening created a situation where you would see that center field would be the squeeze, right? Because in theory, you could have Gorman at second, Donovan in left, Knute Barr in center, and it creates a tougher road for the guys who might otherwise be playing center field. What I think we did probably not give sufficient credit to, and this is where Victor Scott II deserves all the credit in the world, is that Victor, frankly, pushed the envelope and forced the issue, and then got to a point where Victor played so well, hit so well during spring that it was impossible to ignore. And by him asserting himself the way he did, you know, the trickle-down runs the other direction, because if Victor's going to be in center, well, the Knute Barr has to be in left. And that leaves you choosing between Donovan and Gorman at second. And it's hard to argue with choosing Donovan in that scenario based on wanting to win ball games. Now, does that get you where you want to go with Nolan Gorman in terms of being able to evaluate him over the course of a season? It probably doesn't, and the Cardinals have been pretty upfront about that. You know, I did, both Mozeliak and Ali Marmol have said that they're going to try to find ways to find the bats for Gorman, but they've also not said what those ways are going to be, and I think it's because they really don't quite know yet. And so it's just going to be, how does that develop? Who's hitting? Who's not? And where can they squeeze him in? Yeah, it's definitely less of a priority than you may have thought even 2 months ago.
When speaking about Victor Scott II, there's some people out there that say, well, he had the strong spring last year as well, and that didn't play out. I always push back on that because the numbers look different. All the extra, he had one extra base hit in spring last year. This year he has the four home runs, the triple and the double, and OPS at almost 1,200 compared to the 770 that he had last year. So to me, it feels different. That takes us to the next question that I'll ask you. Not sustainable, because he's not going to hit 350 with a 1,200 OPS in a Major League Baseball regular season, but how sustainable Victor Scott being a plus offensive player that you can put in the lineup, is that something that you expect to see?
You know, the interesting thing about Victor Scott is that he doesn't even really have to be that much of a plus offensive player to hold the spot down, right? Because when you look at him defensively, he's very much improved out there. And a lot of folks look at Victor Scott and they see the minor league Gold Glove and they see the speed. And I think that's a guy who's automatically, you know, a top 10, top five outfielder in the league. Not necessarily. Victor has had a history of not having maybe like the best route decisions you've ever seen. You know, the arm is what it is. It's average for a center fielder, but average for a center fielder is not, you know, blow you away kind of strong. But he looked a lot better, I think, positionally, you know, defensively this spring. And as you mentioned, the numbers are different offensively. You know, last year, I think to the Cardinals' credit, they had sort of realized that the things that Victor did well early in spring were probably not sustainable and were not trending in a good direction. And he had not made the team. Had Dylan Carlson not gotten hurt on literally the last day of spring, Victor Scott would have started the year in Memphis last year. But Carlson got hurt, and the ball got rolling down the hill, and there was really nobody else who could kind of pick it up and take over center the way that Victor was able to. So, you know, that was a situation where out of need, they were forced to bring him into a spot where this year the path of least resistance would have absolutely been for him to start in Memphis. I mean, he forced the issue based on his performance and based on what they've seen from him primarily at the plate, but also kind of evolving as a defender and also getting more comfortable, confident as a base runner, like being able to take those chances, being willing to take bags on guys in ways that, you know, last year we didn't really see Victor use his biggest tool, in part because he wasn't on base that much. And in part because when he was, I think there was a little bit of hesitation of, you know, it's been such a struggle. Do I want to risk an out here? But now he looks like a much more comfortable, confident guy who's going to be able to use those legs the way that really benefits his game.
When Mason Wynn got a little bit banged up yesterday, turned that ankle, I started having flashbacks to last year, the Carlson-Walker collision in Arizona. I thought to myself, The Cardinals are never going to play a non-Florida exhibition game to wrap up spring again if Mason Wynn gets injured in this game.
Yeah, I was looking out of the dugout waiting to see, like, Secret Service descending on Jose Barrero to kind of package him in some bubble wrap and get him out of there as quickly as possible. But thankfully, all is well. Mason was sort of ducking out of the way of really throwing his ankle buckled on him, but he's 100% good to go.
Jeff Jones, he covers the Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat. He's on Twitter at JM Jones. Also find him on Blue Sky. I'm not a Blue Sky. I'm not on Blue Sky. Is it JM Jones dot? Do I say at, like, be it? Do I spell it out? Like, what's the correct way to say this?
That is an incredibly good question that I don't know the answer to. I think that if you just search for the same username, it should pop up right there, because I think the .bsky.social is the default. So just search for JM Jones on that platform if you're over there, and I'll actually be easy enough to find.
Okay, .bsky.social. That sounded good. I'm going to go with that. I like that.
There you go.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the time.
Anytime. Thanks, Matt.
You bet. There's Jeff Jones from the Belleville News Democrat joining us here on the program. Like I mentioned, we're here. Sometimes people get on me a little bit. They say, hey, Paulie, the name of the show is Sports Open Line. Where are the open lines? Where are they? Don't you know the name of the show? Don't you know the history of KMOX? Don't you know the history of this show that you're hosting? What are you doing, man? Why are you just talking? Why are you yammering on and on and on and on and on? Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air. You can leave a voice message if you would like. We are available to you on the Odyssey app. So if you're listening to the Odyssey app, just leave a voice message, and that comes into us. So many ways to get connected. How are you feeling about the Cardinals? More positive, more negative? Got any thoughts on what we saw yesterday from a lineup standpoint? Are you fired up about the fact, like I am? I thought I liked the lineup, and I like Lars Nootbaar in the leadoff spot, and I like the speed at the bottom of the order. How are you feeling about things? We'll gladly take all the different ways that you can communicate with the show. We are with you till 8 o'clock coming up this evening. Of course, we do have one more guest at about 7:20. Good friend St. Louis and Danny Wexelman, who does a great job covering Major League Baseball nationally. She is going to join us, so we've got a lot coming up. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good start to spring, but then slowed down. Ooh. He hits this one deep to left field. Fermin goes back at the track. He's looking up. That is just clearing the wall and a home run. Nolan Arenado, a three-run shot, just barely. If that wall would have been about a foot higher, that's off the wall for a double. Instead, Arenado hits a dinger, a three-run shot, and the Cardinals strike first here in the top of the first inning. It's 3-0.
Ends up that would be the only run scoring for the Cardinals yesterday when they beat the Memphis Redbirds 3-2 to wrap up exhibition play. And for Arenado, it was good to see him hit that home run. And the question remains, what is Arenado going to look like this season? Because all the underlying numbers tell you that he was different this year in spring than he was the last couple years. We've seen that bat speed slowly kind of, not even slowly, we've just simply seen it depreciate over the last couple years. He spent an entire offseason doing things that, you don't chase bat speed. You try to do things that make you a better hitter, and bat speed is a result of it. You know, that's always we have that conversation all the time when it comes to launch angle. You're not looking for launch angle. You're not chasing launch angle. You are chasing a really good swing and a really good approach, and launch angle is a result. It's not an apples to apples comparison, because there are some things that you can do to try to speed up your bat speed, but at the end of the day, that is also in some ways a byproduct of the work that you are putting in the offseason to become a better hitter. And if Arenado takes a big step forward this year, it goes a long way towards the Cardinals scoring more runs. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air. Leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. Let's go to Mike, who is listening to us from Oklahoma City. Hey, Mike, you're on Sports Open Line. Mike, you're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I want to make a prediction that Nolan Arenado, that he's going to turn out to be a good player this year.
Yeah, Mike, appreciate the phone call. I tend to agree. I think he's going to take a step forward. Now, we were talking about this during the Redbird Rush Hour today, during the 5 o'clock hour. If you're a Sports Open Line, like a loyal Sports Open Line listener, and you haven't heard about all of our changes that we have here on KMOX, Kevin Wheeler and myself do a baseball show now during the 5 o'clock hour leading into Sports Open Line called Redbird Rush Hour. And the Gas House Gang show, which we'd been doing digitally, it has moved on air 12 to 1. Wheels and I are not quite as involved in that show now because it's Chris Ranji and Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas and Mike Claiborne and some other folks. Wheels and I kind of take the night shift, and those guys take the daytime shift. But yeah, look, Wheels and I were talking about this last hour, and there was a story in The Athletic written by Eno Saris, where he looked at the data and he looked at the bat speed, and he predicted a 30 home run season for Nolan Arenado. I don't know if I'm that bullish on that kind of season for Arenado, but do I think the man can take a step forward offensively? I'm not trying to be rude about the season that he had last year, but his power was gone. He didn't have it last year. He still hit for an okay average. He hit .272. Felt like he did a nice job of everybody on the. If I had to choose one player to be at the plate last year, when there was runners on in scoring position, in a year that was historically bad in that category for the Cardinals, Arenado was my guy. He had 71 RBIs last year, but the power was just gone. Of his 157 hits that he had last year, about 40 of them went for extra bases. He had 23 doubles and 16 home runs. That's not enough. So as much as, the idea of him being a 30 home run guy is, you kind of dream on that, as much as you would love that to be a thing, I think it's just as important that he puts it in the gap and gets it to the wall and starts hitting more doubles. That's going to be a big, big key for Arenado. And We've seen glimpses of it in spring this year. Again, he hits the home run yesterday. I'm not just trying to repeat everything that I said to Kevin earlier, but I will say this. Where I pump the brakes a little bit on Arenado, what gives me just a little bit of pause is the fact that his underlying numbers were really, really good when spring training started. They weren't as good when spring training ended. So what that says to me is everything is still kind of moving. He has yet to settle in on whoever he's going to be this year. And things change. If you get banged up in the year, all of a sudden that can change underlying number. Like there's nothing that guarantees that once you get to that point, that it's just a static situation and you are going to stay in that spot moving forward. And I'm not trying to say that, and I'm not trying to bore you and hit you over the head with numbers that you might not care about because they're not baseball card numbers. I get all of that. But when there is a projection that is made that says Arenado is going to be a 30 home run guy, and when that projection is based upon, largely based upon, not just, but largely based upon his improved bat speed from what he was last year to what he was in spring this year. Yet at the same time, it doesn't really feel like he has yet settled in to whatever that bat speed's going to be. That's where I start to pump the brakes a little bit, and I just want more information. I love the idea of Nolan Arenado as a 30 home run guy. And then that creates two options that you have. If he's a 30 home run guy and you're having a really good season as a team and you're in playoff contention, you're in divisional contention, which I think all those things are possible. I don't know if they're likely, but I don't think they're impossible by any stretch of the mind. The division is terrible. If that happens, well, you keep the man on your team and you roll with it and you just keep going and you see how far you can go with that kind of player in your lineup. The other thing is if the team is not playing well, or if there's a team in the division that is starting to run away with things, or let's go to a scenario where Nolan Gorman isn't getting as many opportunities as you would like him to get, but in the opportunities he has shown that the changes he made this offseason have resulted in actual change, that there is a legitimate step forward, and there is interest for Arenado on the trade market, you will get more for him on the trade market when he is performing at a fairly high level as compared to trying to trade him this offseason when he was coming off a down season where he had essentially turned into a singles hitter, right? So, you know, this is not a... You look at his last 2 years, he was a 272 hitter this past year, a 266 hitter in 2023, but in many ways, 2023 was a better year. The batting averages were not that far off from each other, just 6 points, but 2023, 26 home runs, last year, 16. Had a few more doubles in 2023. The OPS was higher, 774 versus 719. So if you've got a Nolan Arenado who's going to be a 25 to 30 home run kind of guy, who once again shows the power that he has shown previously in his career, there's going to be a decision for John Mozeliak and company to make coming up on the trade deadline, because that's going to be a piece that there's going to be interest in. And I would suspect, just by, you know, things are going to happen, I would suspect at that point some of the teams that Arenado had on his list of teams that he would accept a trade to, that they would absolutely be interested in him. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Starting to get a few text messages as well. We'll get to those coming up in our next hour. Do want to mention the Blues really quickly, because, I mean, they're worth mentioning more than really quickly, but they are, man, are they playing some good hockey right now, and it's compelling what's going on right now with the Blues. They are in action this evening at home as they match up against Montreal. We'll talk a little Blues hockey coming up in our next segment as we roll on in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We're back at it here on KMOX. Great to have you with us for a Graybar Sports Open Line. So we're back on the video stream. Hello to everybody who is watching on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and wherever else you happen to listen. We've done it, and then we stopped doing it, and then we started doing it, and we stopped. Like, it's just been kind of a back and forth sort of thing. But now that we have our KMOX Sports YouTube channel is really kind of turning into something with all the different sports programs that we have. And, you know, whether it's the Gas House Gang at noon and the Redbird Rush Hour. So we'll probably do this. So encourage you to like and follow and do all that sort of stuff with KMOX Sports on YouTube. And you can indeed follow along with us. And then you can just comment and say things just the same way that you would text in. And we'll keep an eye on that. Something that we may, I guess... if you're watching it or if you're listening to it and you've just got a thought, the extra inning show that we do after Cardinals games where we take phone calls and text messages and all that. Should we start doing that on the video stream as well? An opportunity to bring in more folks for the extra inning show when it comes to that. So if you've got an opinion on that, if you'd like for the extra inning show to be on the video stream as well, let me know and we'll consider it. We will. will prayerfully consider going into Thursday's home opener with the Cardinals and the Twins matching up against each other. Blues are in action tonight. I'm not going to sit here and break down the X's and O's of what they're doing well right now. We have 2 minutes to talk about this. We haven't had a lot of sports open lines. I was off a lot of last week. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to you about what's going on right now with this team. And I was thinking about the last time that I was this fired up about the Blues. And I know exactly when it was. It's since the Stanley Cup. It was the playoff series against Colorado where Binnington ends up getting hurt and they lose that series. And I am of the belief that they had a very good chance of winning that series had Binnington not got hurt. Colorado was really, really good that year. There's no guarantee. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I hear people say it all the time. Oh, they would have won that series with Binnington. They may have. They may have won that series with Binnington. That was the last time that I was fired up about the Blues. It has been, since then, it's been somewhere between just the team being terrible and the team being a team that you're just going to be apathetic towards. And it finally has come together. I was at a game the other night, the night that they that they really put it on Anaheim when they won that game 7-2. That was the Braden Schenn honor when he was honored before the game. And just the feeling of what was going on in that building, and that was at the beginning of this winning streak. That was the second game of this winning streak. I think it took a little longer than anybody expected for the Montgomery effect to really impact this team. And we know that you have that new coach bump at the beginning, but eventually that kind of wears off. And that wore off, and then it kind of just looked like same old Blues for a while. Like they have good moments and not so good moments. And look, I don't know what's going to happen here over the next few weeks. It's hard to win as many games in a row as they have won at this point. They've won 6 in a row, and maybe I'm going to be fooled by this team again, but this feels real. This feels sustainable. This feels like something that people can be legitimately excited about, and we'll see what they do against Montreal tonight. Just keep collecting. You got all those teams with games in hand. Calgary the other day, 3 more games left than the Blues. Just crazy. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. 1 hour down, 1 more to go. As always, if you want to join the program, you can do so. Call, text, tweet, voice message. If you call or leave a comment for those of you who are watching us. If you are listening and you want to call or text, the phone number, it doesn't matter if you're calling or texting, the phone number stays the same, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you want to tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air, or you can leave the voice message that is on the Odyssey app, or you leave the comment if you are watching us on any of our various streaming places. So again, we're trying to come to you in wherever you are at, which is, it's been a lot of fun seeing the KMOX sports brand kind of grow since we started doing Gas House Gang in the 12 noon hour, and now with us here on FM 104.1 FM, baby. Since we're here on the FM, we're doing a lot more sports stuff, and we're trying to make sure wherever you are at, we can find you. And you can find us, but we can find you all at the same time. Let's go to the text line. Got a text message from the 256. Says, since the Cardinals do still have Arenado and Fetty, they might have a shot at the playoffs. Need to get off to a good start, a good April. If Gorman and Walker can hit, this is where our text messaging system is terrible. I sure hope the Cardinals don't let them ruin April and maybe the season. Sit them down. They have other guys that can at least help the team a little. Can't have a million wasted ABs again this year. Yeah, okay, so this is where I'm torn. And just being completely and I'm always pretty honest with you. Being totally honest, what scares me about hosting the post-game show this upcoming season is the mixed messaging that is going to come out of my mouth. And it's not going to be me talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's going to be the mixed messaging that is coming from the team, because there are going to be times where decisions are made, and those decisions are being made because it gives you the best chance to win the game that night. And there are going to be times where decisions are made, and those decisions are being made because it sets you up for the future, that it puts you in a position or puts you in a situation or an individual. Better way to say that is it puts an individual into a situation or into an experience that you want them to be able to have moving forward. So what worries me, because I try to be consistent, I try to be somebody who my message stays the same one night to the next night. What is going to be challenging for me hosting a post-game show is there's going to be one day that I'm telling you, well, they made the decision because it was the best decision for tonight. And there's going to be some nights where I'm telling you, well, they made this decision because they want this guy to be put into this situation. And that's where kind of being stuck in this middle area that the Cardinals have been stuck in for a while, that's where it impacts the game. You know, a lot of times it impacts roster decisions and it impacts, you know, potential moves and things like that. This is where it impacts the way the game is being played, the way the game is being managed, the different decisions that are being made. Oliver Marmol was asked about this not that long ago. We played the audio on this show where he said that, you know, he feels like there's going to be enough of those kind of inflection points during the season where you're going to have a choice on which decision to make, that they're going to be able to accomplish everything that they want to accomplish. But at the same time, the consistency of why you're doing something, I don't think that is going to be there quite as much. And that's going to be at times challenging to be able to talk through. And that takes us to what I think is a very, very compelling thing that is happening right now. And I say all this knowing that there's some assumptions in here that I made that were either correct or incorrect, and there's no way that I would ever know for sure that the assumption was correct. I do know that the Cardinals have been very open about the fact that Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker are key players that they need to find out what they have in those guys this year. And we have heard the term runway used time and time and time again. You got to give this guy the runway. We keep hearing them talk about the runway. And I believe in that. I want to see the runway. You've got a guy in Nolan Gorman who's got 30 to 40 home run potential. You got to figure out whether or not he can get there. And, yeah, there's a lot of fans out there that just want to throw Nolan Gorman away. And I will remind you, yeah, was his final couple, 2-3 months this past year really bad? Absolutely. We are not going to try to lift up what he did in the final few months of the season last year. It was bad. There was a reason it got to a point where he just had to be sent down to the minors. But if you look at what he has done, even including, Kevin Wheeler made this point, and I'll repeat it, even if you include those bad months, when you look at his overall numbers offensively throughout his career, in many ways, he has still been a plus offensive hitter because of what he can do from an extra base hit potential. Now, there are fans out there, there are people right now who are kind of shaking their head while they're listening to me because they see all the strikeouts and they can't get past the strikeouts no matter what else he's doing, so they already are kind of predisposed to not liking Nolan Gorman. And I get that. You know, strikeouts are not reviled the way that they were previously in today's baseball. Guys with legit power are not going to shorten up with two strikes to try to slap a base hit when there's someone who, you know, there's somebody who can put it down in the gap and they can put it over the wall. That's just the data will tell you. I know people don't want to hear about data, but the numbers don't do that. Don't strike out or hit a home run. Like that's the whole three true outcomes thing with that. So I'm fine. I'm fine with a guy not shortening up if they've got the true extra. Now, if you're not a big home run hitter, if you're not a big doubles hitter, it's a different discussion to be had. But if you're a dude with legit power, and the circumstance and the situation doesn't like really strongly call for that kind of tweak, yeah, do what you do. Be the best version of yourself. And if that results in a strikeout, it results in a strikeout, and you live with it. But the development here that I think is really interesting is after we have spent this entire offseason talking about the runway that is going to be given to both Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, discussing those two guys as the single two most important players for the Cardinals in 2025. Both from a perspective of, hey, if these guys can take a step forward, they can be dangerous, dangerous middle-of-the-order hitters. But also from the perspective of, you got to figure out what you have in these guys because we can't be doing the same thing in 2026, right? Like that's the point here. So where are we at now in this? Nolan Gorman is unlikely to be a starter on an opening day. The lineup that the Cardinals threw out there yesterday against the Redbirds is likely to be the starting lineup. Now, Gorman's still going to get his playing time. He's still going to start probably 3-4 times a week because there's going to be other guys who get days off. But if you have your set best available lineup, it's Alec Burleson who's going to be the DH. It's Brendan Donovan who's going to be in second at second. And it's Lars Nootbaar is going to be in left and Victor Scott the second in center. Now, part of this is connected to the fact that Scott played so well in spring. If Scott doesn't play as well in spring as he did, then you're going to see a lot more of Nootbaar in center, Donovan in left, Gorman at second. But that's not the way things played out. So the way things played out is you had to give the job to Scott. So then the Cardinals had a decision to make. Do you give more at-bats to Burleson at DH or do you give more DH at-bats to Gorman? And if you would have asked me 3 days ago, hey, the Cardinals have this decision to make. They're going to have to decide who's going to be the higher priority, Gorman or Burleson, I would have told you it's Gorman. Of course it's Gorman. Of course it's Gorman. Like there would have been no doubt in my voice, in my mind, in my being. Of course it's going to be Gorman. And it's not. I would have been wrong. I would have been incredibly wrong based off the way things are going now. So Burleson had a nice spring. Burleson had a nice season last year. As much as he struggled in the final month plus of the year last year, he was arguably your best hitter last season. And he's your leading home run returner with 21 home runs last year. Paul Goldschmidt was the only player on the Cardinals last year who hit more home runs than Alec Burleson. So the Cardinals have made this decision now, evidently, that there's going to be a bit of a higher priority for Burleson than Gorman. So that takes us back to where we were at the beginning of this segment. How do you provide the runway that you want to provide for Gorman when you make the decision that Burleson is going to be the guy that gets the priority? And I don't think Burleson being the priority is actually going to cost Gorman that many at-bats. I think he's going to be a pretty regular, he's going to play most games. He's going to get in there. There's going to be a lot of starts. You're going to give Burleson and Nootbaar and Scott and Donovan and Arenado, all these guys are going to get days off. And all those times, Gorman is going to be the guy who slots in at this position or that position. But we'd be naive, I think, to not admit the fact that it does feel like things have changed, where at one point, one of the top priorities for the Cardinals was to figure out what they have in Gorman. And now it doesn't feel like that's quite the priority because Burleson is the guy. And then that takes us back to, well, then what is this season about? Is this season actually a runway season where you're going to give those young guys the runway? Or is this a season where there is going to be a little bit more of a focus on winning baseball games? We'll see how things play out as the season moves along. Dani Wechselman, she is one of our favorites. She is a St. Louisan. She is running the world, covering baseball at a national level as she is a part of the team at ESPN. Also does some MLB Radio Network stuff. She is going to join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Yeah, that's the big news here at KMOX. We're still on 11:20 a.m. You don't have to worry about that, but we have made the switch over to FM as well. 104.1 FM, a full market signal here in St. Louis. So for all of you got just don't like switching your car radios to AM, you don't have to do it anymore. We are loud. We are clear coming through your FM radio. Also, you can find us on the Odyssey app. We are streaming everywhere that you can find us. So here we are, KMOX, coming to you. We are very happy to welcome on the program. She's one of our favorites. She is a native St. Louisan, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. You also hear her doing work on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. She is Dani Wexelman. Follow her on Twitter at Dani Wex. Dani, we always appreciate your time. Welcome to KMOX on the FM dial for the first time ever.
Dude, congratulations. This is awesome. I'm so honored. You know I'm such a big fan, and anytime I get to talk on a hometown radio station, it gives me chills. It makes my heart burst. Like, I miss home. I miss St. Louis all the time. I think about home all the time, and I'm always thrilled to get to talk some ball with you, but I just really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we're glad that you were able to find some time for us, for sure. What's this Cardinals offseason was a lot of nothing. Nolan Arenado doesn't get moved. They play in a bad division that anybody could seemingly win. It feels like the Cubs are probably the best team in the division. But what do you make of this current situation that the Cardinals are in right now?
Ah, yes. It's not a rebuild. It's a reset. Is that right? Do I have the R word right there?
Year in spring, they switched it. After Arenado came back, it morphed from reset to transition.
Okay. Let me make sure I get that terminology right there. This is the equivalent to we need a makeover. We need a refresh, right? We have the bones and we have structure, but we need to take a look at the inventory that's already inside before we make massive upgrades. And we also just mortgaged our house, so we don't have money to go out and buy splashy expensive things and spend money. And also, we unfortunately bought the piano that we shouldn't have, aka Nolan Arenado, and we can't offload it because nobody wants pianos anymore. And so it was frustrating, like, to say the very least. And then watching, as someone who covers the league, you want to see them be able to make accommodations for their younger guys to let them play. I like the plan. Right. When you think about what John Mozeliak is trying to do and what this team is trying to do, in theory, it's a great plan. It wasn't executed because they weren't able to move Nolan. They're, you know, I'm in New York, Matt, you know, and I get asked every week, should he be on the Yankees? Should the Mets have gotten him? Like, should he be here in New York? To me, the Yankees were much more obvious as a place. And so that would have allowed moves to be made, money to be spent, and also opening up the spots for more consistent playing time, because you cannot be a big leaguer if you can't get consistent playing time. And there is an unfortunate logjam right now. But I will say this, all of that being said, this is a team that is hungry. They have a chip on their shoulder. They're tired of being talked about in this way. And it is a winnable division. They absolutely can go out and create some chaos. I was optimistic about last year. I was surprised that they finished above 500. So even in a year where they were down, they still finished above 500. It is a frustrating offseason, and I hope it's the last of its kind.
Yeah, I think Cardinals fans would agree with that, and obviously it's the final year for John Mozeliak before Chaim Bloom comes in, and Bloom already has his fingerprints on some things going on inside of the organization. Arenado, some of the overall numbers in spring weren't great, but the underlying numbers, bat speed, things like that, look good. He had a home run in the triple, you know, this game against Memphis, their triple A affiliate yesterday. If Arenado gets off to a nice start, do you think some of those teams you mentioned, like the Yankees and Mets, might circle back in on him?
Well, let me say this too, is that I can't put too much stock in spring. I really, really can't. When it comes to position battles, like Victor Scott, maybe it's a little different. But for veteran guys or guys who have been there, I'm not going to put stock in it because you don't know what they're working on. You don't know if he's made an offseason adjustment to the swing. You don't know if he's trying to identify different pitches. You get no idea. And so I can't put too much stock in that. That's the good news. Do I think he could still be moved? Yeah, I think he could be moved next week. If a third baseman goes down in the league, you can bet yourself that John Mozeliak is going to be on the phone asking a team if they're interested. I have no doubt about it. The third base situation for the New York Yankees is dicey right now. They have a couple of guys that they're looking at. They're all younger guys who don't have a ton of experience because DJ LeMahieu is hurt. If DJ comes back healthy, then Nolan is out. There's no way. But ironically, two former Rockies too. But I would love to see him across the diamond from Paul Goldschmidt. The Yankees would love to see those two guys covering the corners for them. And I think Nolan's bat might need a change of scenery. For the Mets, no. The Mets have a guy. They have Mark Vientos. That would be, unless Mark Vientos goes down and so does everyone else, I can't see him with the Mets. But, yeah, I do think at any time that could happen. And, again, I mean, Nolan's a pro, right? So I know Katie Wu's done a great job covering that team down in spring, and so is everyone else. Like, he's going to show up and do the work, and he should have a chip on his shoulder. He still has more in the tank. He still has more to prove. But I do think he wants to be moved. And I think it would benefit the Cardinals in such a tremendous way to allow those young guys. I'm thinking specifically about Nolan Gorman and allowing him to reach his full potential. I still hate, Matt, that Jordan Walker was moved to the outfield and asked to learn the position because they wanted his bat. And now it's led to a very tumultuous tenure so far in his young career. He's a natural third baseman, and he doesn't get to play his position. It's all been blocked because Nolan's there. So I genuinely hope, I don't want anyone to get hurt or go down, but I do hope a situation arises to where they can move him and allow the young guys to play.
We were just talking about Nolan Gorman a moment ago because the Cardinals put a lineup last night that I think is the lineup they're going to use on opening day, and it did not have Nolan Gorman in there. We spent an entire offseason talking about this being the year of the runway for Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, and now it's looking like Gorman might not be an opening day starter. It's a really tough spot for the Cardinals to be in because when you got a guy who can maybe be a 30 to 40 home run guy, and you got another guy like J.J. Weatherholt, who's going to be in St. Louis before you know it, there's a clock ticking on how much time you have to figure out whether or not Gorman's a guy that you want to be a big part of your future.
Yeah, and you know, those are both guys I got to cover in high school. I covered Nolan Gorman and Matthew Liberatore together at the same time. They came up at the same time, and so it's been tough to watch because I do think there's a lot of potential there. Let me start with the good news. The good news is that they're not approaching free agency soon, right? Jordan Walker's got a year and change. Nolan Gorman's got 2 years and change. They're not free agents for a while. So they still have time to develop, to have that runway. But the longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes to them. And then the more pressure they're facing as they approach free agency, because they don't have the experience and they don't have the numbers. It's not ideal for either party, right? You are asking, this is happening around the league all the time. For example, Cam Smith, right? He just made the roster for the Houston Astros. He was playing for Florida State in college last year as a third baseman, okay? Very similar situation. He's playing right field for the Astros. He's going to be their right fielder. He played zero games in right field in college, but they won his bat. So they are asking guys to move spots. And you could say to yourself, Danny, it's not that big of a deal. They're athletes. It is a big deal, especially if you're moving infield to outfield. I've heard the outfield to infield move is even harder. But the problem with the Cardinals is that they have these young, talented guys who haven't played their natural positions. That's a problem. I don't care how athletic you are. You're not Mookie Betts. He's really the only guy in the league who can do something like that. It's not every guy who can do it. And so that's where I get concerned, is that they just don't have the experience. I think there's still time. I'm not stressed about that yet, but I want them to experience playing a full season with consistent at-bats at the big league level, facing big league pitchers at their positions that they know how to play, because that will make the Cardinals better. That makes the Cardinals win. When you feel comfortable, when you're playing spots that you know and getting consistent at-bats, to your point, Nolan Gorman not being in the lineup, like, what does that mean for him? How does a young guy learn consistent at-bats? And when you don't get them, you are going to struggle.
We're talking with Danny Wechselman. You mentioned Matthew Liberatore. He was stretched out at the beginning of spring like a million pitchers are every year that still end up in the bullpen. But then all of a sudden, as those numbers continue to look better and better, they made the decision to they're going to go with a six-man rotation. Eventually, he's going to be the fifth starter. He'll be in the rotation from the beginning. He at one point was one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. It hasn't come together for him in the big leagues, but he also has never really been given that opportunity. It feels like the theme of our conversation, Danny, is opportunity. Matthew Liberatore is finally being given that opportunity to be an every fifth, every 6 day starter, and it's gonna be fun to see what he turns that into.
Yeah, Matt, I have seen this so often, and you're just seeing it across the league. The Angels are so hungry to call guys up all the time. They're doing it again this year. They're calling a dude up who has like no service time in the minor leagues, and there is value in that. And I will say that the Cardinals, the crux of all this too, Matt, is that the Cardinals need to improve their farm system and the development down there, right? That is a huge part of the building blocks of what's going on, and they've had an overhaul, and there has to be more emphasis on that. But for Liberatore, to your point, his first season in St. Louis, 7 starts, 9 games. His second season, 11 starts, 22 games. And then in 2024, 6 starts, 60 games, right? So he is primarily been a bullpen guy. That's not who he is. He's had to learn that mentality, learn how to get up maybe just once a game. It's totally different, right? And he's willing to do it. But I would urge you to watch him shine and fly this season being a regular starting pitcher. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the year that he takes off and has the chance to really show you what he's made of. I think that he's a really talented kid. He was such a highly touted prospect out of high school with Nolan Gorman. Those two were thick as thieves coming out of the same town, right? But he hasn't had a chance to show it. He got traded really early, didn't have a chance to develop with the Rays, and then gets to St. Louis. It's jarring for guys. I think we're underestimating how difficult it is to move teams early in your career, then have to figure out the minor league system for a new team, then be asked to be in a spot that you're not accustomed to being so young. I'll give him a lot of chances. He's still really young. He's 25 years old, right? So he should be starting to figure it out. This could be the year he does it. And what I love the 6-man rotation, Matt, is that he's not going to feel so much pressure to be the guy every fifth day. I am sure he's picked Sonny Gray's brain and Miles' brain and all the guys from last year too, and had a chance to hopefully understand his role better.
Danny Wexelman does a great job covering Major League Baseball, ESPN, MLB Network Radio. She is a native St. Louisan. Follow her on Twitter at Danny Wex, DaniWex. Danny, thanks so much for the time. I'm sure we'll talk to you again. Enjoy opening day. We're just a couple days away. Enjoy it and enjoy the baseball season.
I appreciate you, Matt. Let's have a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny Wexelman joining us here on the program. We appreciate her spending a few. My goal, by the way, with her was to talk more like what's going on across Major League Baseball. We just got locked in on the Cardinals, and she obviously is following along there. And some great insights from her as somebody who, you know, she has covered the college game and the prep game throughout her baseball career, and the fact that she has followed along with guys like Matthew Liberatore and Nolan Gorman and saw those guys at the beginning of their baseball journey, and to see where they're at now, still relatively early on in their baseball journeys, but those two guys still have something to prove for sure. And yeah, it's there's a lot of players who are key to the Cardinals having success this year. Those two guys certainly fall under that category for different reasons. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air. For those of you who are watching, we have a good number of folks who are watching on the streams right now. Feel free to leave a comment, and we'll try to address some of those as well. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. More in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Have about 20 minutes left in the program. If you want to join us, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a voice message. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. Henry leaves a comment on our stream. He says, the Cardinals will be a contender this year. Nolan will come back. Talk about Nolan Arenado. Nolan will come back. Fetty, Sonny, Miles, Libby, Pallante will deal. This team has something to prove, especially in the division. Brewers lost 2 stars. Goes on to say, and the Cubs are overrated. Cardinals are much better than the widely predicted 76.5 wins or fourth of a fifth place team. They're a lot better than what people are saying right now. Cards are going to shock people. So a few things there that I generally agree with what Henry said. My legitimate worries coming out of spring. So sometimes you have worries based off spring training performances that are kind of unfounded, that it's just a guy working on some things. I'm worried about the velocity drops from both Sonny Gray and Andre Pallante. I think they are significant enough to take note of. And even if I have, I'm pretty confident that Gray will find the velocity again. I'm very confident that even if he doesn't, he's going to still find a way to be successful. It might just take a little while. So I'm a little worried about Gray at the beginning of the season. I think eventually it will come together. When it comes to Pallante, he was so good down the stretch of the season last year. He was clearly the best starter in the second half of the season for the Cardinals. All those things were true. But he doesn't have a track record as a starting pitcher. He's got a half season of major league success as a starting pitcher. So I think Matthew Liberatore is going to outdo expectations. I think Eric Fetty's going to have a really nice season. I don't know what to think about Miles Michaelis. But I'm actually kind of bullish on Steven Matz. I think when he comes, I've liked what I've seen from him in spring. And the only question, he's got a track record. His only question is whether or not he can stay healthy. So once Matz joins the rotation in mid-April, when they go to a six-man rotation, I think they're going to, I think those guys are going to perform at a pretty high level. I agree about the Cubs being overrated. I think the Cubs are the best team in the division. I don't think they're as good as some people say. The only thing I would say is last year, their bullpen was terrible. They lost so many games because of their bullpen, and they have made a good number of changes, and they've just brought in some steady guys. So the Cubs' bullpen is actually what leads me to be a little bit scared about what they might be. But the idea that the Cardinals' over-under number is 76.5 and basically projected to be better than only the Pittsburgh Pirates, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. You're talking about a team that really doesn't have that many changes from a team that was above 500 last year and was a second-place team last year. Yeah, they weren't a playoff team, but they were a second-place team last year. So those projections I do not like whatsoever. Let's grab Mike, who has given us a call. Mike, you are on a Graybar Sports Open Line.
Hi, how you doing? I'm sitting here thinking, you know, with all of the young Cardinal pitchers that are coming up in the pipeline and possible a lot, mainly in the starters positions, and the fact that they cannot seem to trade Nolan because nobody wants his salary, what's the likelihood? I mean, I know that Miles is kind of, he's paid too much. Matz is actually not a bad price for what you're getting. Fetty seems to be the guy that I never hear the Cardinals seem like they want to re-sign. But what about getting creative and moving one of those pitchers? Let's just say Matz gets off to a good start, or even Miles, Fetty, whoever, pick one or two of them. But someone who, I mean, everybody needs pitching. So what's the likelihood of somebody, let's just say the Yankees or somebody who needs a third, who may need a third baseman, they don't want to pay the salary, but the Cardinals package a Fetty or someone like that with Nolan in order to create two openings. You get Gorman in every day at third base. You get McGreevy or Thompson, whoever you want to move up into the rotation then. But do you see something like that? I mean, is there any – am I crazy here? Anyway, enjoy the show. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you for the phone call. I don't think you're crazy, Mike. We have to apply this to like different guys. So first off, I'm going to take Miles Michaelis out of the equation because he's got full no trade protection. And I don't think he accepts a trade. I don't know if there is a team out there that he would accept a trade to. So let's just throw him out of that equation that you mentioned for that. So if what you just said plays out where the Cardinals can make a move where they trade Nolan Arenado and they also trade Steven Matz, and you're kind of using Matz as a way to get a team to take on as much of Arenado's salary as you want them to take on, you're still going to have to eat some of that Arenado salary. But if Matz is performing at like a really high level, and that's a very good contract at the $12 million or whatever he's making this year. If that situation presents itself, you have to jump at it. You have to jump at it. Now, I would have a little bit of a different answer when it comes to Eric Fetty, because I think Eric Fetty is incredibly valuable. And if the Cardinals move, I'm I'm fine with them moving Arenado and Mats as the main, with the main motivation being to create spots for Nolan Gorman at third, for Michael McGreevy, or for Quinn Matthews in the rotation. If that ends up being the way it goes, honestly, I don't really care what they get back. The value there is that you have created the space and you've created the runway for some of these young players who are going to be a big part of the core moving forward, or in Gorman's place, you're just giving yourself the legit opportunity to find out who he is before J.J. Weatherholt gets here, where you're forced to make the decision on what happens. When it comes to Eric Fetty, I've got a different answer, because Fetty's a really good pitcher. He's really good. And we saw that a little bit. His first few starts after he got traded to the Cardinals last year weren't great. But he locked in after that. I don't think he gets, because that's the time period where the Cardinals fell out of playoff contention, I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves for actually being pretty good down the stretch of the season. If I'm going to trade Eric Fetty, I want to get back something legit for him. And I don't want to use Eric Fetty as a way to get out from underneath the contract of Nolan Arenado. I don't think you are maximizing what you want to do with your team in that situation. Eric Fetty is way too valuable to simply be used as a bargaining chip to get out from Nolan Arenado. And honestly, we can sit here and have this conversation at 7:45 p.m. on Tuesday, March 25th. But 48 hours from now, I'm going to be sitting here talking to you, and we're going to be talking about a game that was played that mattered, and stats are going to matter, and all of a sudden these discussions we're going to have are going to start to look a little bit different. Because if Nolan Arenado gets off to a really hot start, then his trade value looks like X. If he gets off to a really slow start, his trade value looks like Y. If Arenado gets off to a hot start and the team doesn't, that changes his trade value. If he gets off to a slow start but the team is playing, like, all these different things are going to impact the potential trades that we could see the Cardinals make. All the while, Arenado's not going to come off the teams that he wants to go to. He would much rather be a Cardinal than an Astro. He would much rather be a Cardinal than a Royal. He'd much rather be a Cardinal than a Blue Jay. You know, I'm just thinking about other teams that were rumored to be, you know, interested in him during the offseason. He's not looking. He might want to get traded, but he wants to get traded to a very select number of teams. And he knows that the possibility of him getting traded probably is helped by his performance if he performs at a high level. So I still think, circling around your main point, Mike, because you're focused in on, and rightfully so, hey, how do the Cardinals find the playing time for these guys? They've got a 6-man rotation right now, or essentially, you know, the guys who will be in the 6-man rotation are all on the roster, because Steven Matz will start in the bullpen, but eventually he's going to transfer over and he's going to be a starter. So you got 6 starting pitchers on the roster. All the while, Michael McGreevy, who pitched like a 1 ERA in spring, is in Memphis. Quinn Matthews was the minor league baseball pitcher of the year last year, pitching at all 4 levels, and looked fantastic in spring this year in the few big league opportunities he got. And we have talked over and over and over again about the fact that he's going to get here at some point this year. Now, injuries are going to happen. That's a for sure thing. But even if injuries do happen, you still have some pitching depth right now that is resulting in those guys being blocked, and they are going to have to figure that out at some point in time, because you don't want to go into 2026 saying, who is this guy? Is this guy going to make his major league debut this year? Like, there's a bunch of things that you do want to find a way to accomplish this season, and making some moves would help with that. At the same time, if they get off to a nice start this season, why would you make moves to create space for younger players? Yeah, if this team looks like they can win the division, then throw the runway out, close the runway. This runway is under repair and will open at some point in the future. Like that would be what we can talk all we want about runway, but if the Cardinals do their job and they play at a high level and they look like they can win this division, well, then at that point, what the narratives coming out of my mouth change. At that point, you throw the runway out because you never throw away a season, a special moment, something that guys are working for simply because you want to give young players an opportunity. And that's it's a very complicated, dynamic situation filled with shades of gray that the Cardinals are going to have this season. And it's challenging to completely talk through because this season is going to have chapters, and where the team is at and what they're motivated to do will probably change as you go from one chapter to the next. That's a really long answer. I hope that's the answer you were looking for, Mike. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air. One more break. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up here on the program for today. Tomorrow, it is tomorrow's opening day eve. So, you know, put your stockings out, do whatever you feel like that you need to do to be all the way ready for opening day. But tomorrow, opening day eve, we hope to have a few special things here on Sports Open Line tomorrow, and we're really going to get set. Speaking of special things, again, you've got 2 days left. If you're thinking about pulling the trigger, would encourage you to do so for the first pitch breakfast. That is going to be going on at Ballpark Village inside of Cardinals Nation. And this is going to be really, really cool. It's going to run from 8 in the morning till 10:30 in the morning. So you can start your opening day festivities the right way. It's going to include a breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas, Bloody Marys as well, bottomless Bloody Marys. You're going to get a complimentary Budweiser draft beer, and you're also going to get a commemorative glass, which looks really cool. And it's our first 104.1 FM KMOX swag. We've got the new 104.1 logo, and it's your opportunity to get that. So, and we're also, there's more, but wait, there's more. You're going to get a pair of tickets to see Cardinals Twins on Saturday. So you can get two tickets for Saturday in addition to going to this. It's going to be really fun. And I didn't even mention like the biggest part of this, an unfiltered conversation. This is not going to be on radio. So sometimes when conversations are not being recorded, when conversations are not being broadcast, all of a sudden the conversation gets a little bit more open. That's what we say when we say unfiltered. And Vince Coleman is going to be there. Our own Tom Ackerman, KMOX sports director, he is going to be conducting the conversation. It's not really an interview. It's more of a conversation with Vince Coleman. So that's going to get going. I think I saw that's going to go from like 8:30 to 9:30. So it gets going at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can get in there. You can get your first mimosa down, your first Bloody Mary down, get settled. Tables are available, and this is something that's going to be very cool. So again, KMOX.com/events, promo code KMOX, and you'll save 20% off of your purchase. And you've got you don't have a whole lot of time. For those of you, we've just about sold out of kegs and eggs. I think there's a few like standing room only tickets that are still available. So lots of people have access to our annual kegs and eggs. If you're somebody who's that, it's going to be in the same spot. So you can add on the breakfast. You do the breakfast. You do kegs and eggs. You make it over. You see Clydesdales. You see convertibles. You see trucks. You see all kinds of things. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, for those of you who can't make it out to opening day, you can you can find your way to hearing everything at on KMOX. We'll have coverage throughout the day, so make sure to check that out for yourself. But, yeah, that's man, I love opening day. I love opening day so much, and I can't wait to bring it all to you coming up here in just a couple days on Thursday. It's amazing how quickly we have arrived to this point. But indeed, here we are. Also do want to mention real quickly before we get out of here, Cardinals Vacation still has an opportunity for you to head to Texas to check out some Cardinals games. May 29th to June 2nd is when you're going to be able to go. And Cardinals Vacations has just these amazing, amazing packages of trips that they're going to do this year. So check that out for yourself. We talked about that a bit recently on a Countdown to Opening Day show. So many opportunities for you to take in Cardinals baseball. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We're out of time. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.